Amen. Praise the Lord. We've just sung a very interesting hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. Would you open up your hymn books, I think to page 345. I want to share a little bit with you about what kind of friend Christ is and how we should value his friendship. So, Father, bless us now. I pray that you would help me to be a blessing and encouragement to these dear people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. But for a simplified perusal of a Sunday school hymnal back in the 1800s, this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, would never have been sung or presented to the church. It is interesting that in 1875, returning from England, Ira Sankey, returning from England, became friends with P.P. Bliss. You may not know who P.P. Bliss was. And by the way, I don't purport myself to be a hymnologist, nor do I purport myself to be a musician. This one thing I do is I preach the gospel, and that's about it, folks. And P.P. Bliss was a hymn writer. He wrote Blessed Assurance. He wrote Hallelujah, What a Savior. He wrote Let the Lower Lights Be Burning. And he wrote many other songs. But P.P. Bliss and Ira Sankey became friends. As I said, in 1875, as Ira Sankey was returning from an evangelistic crusade in England. Now, you may not know who Ira Sankey is. Ira Sankey really was D.L. Moody's song leader. Ira Sankey was a tremendous hymnologist. He came across a little pamphlet called the Sunday School Hymns that had been recently printed in Richmond, Virginia. And in it, he saw this hymn and entitled it, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. This hymn was published, and sometime later he found out, and it was noted, if you will look there, to the left hand of that hymn, at the top of the page there, it's written, Scribner is the author of the words, and C.C. Converse is the writer of the music to the right. Ira Sankey and Converse were good friends. When he read this hymn, it was attributed to a man who was called Dr. Bonar. Dr. Bonar was a Scottish preacher and hymnologist. He was a hymn writer. It was years later that Ira Sankey found out that this Dr. Bonar did not write the hymn. And they didn't for years know who wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And time went on. Dr. Bonner wrote to Ira Sankey and said, look, this is not my hymn. I did not write it. I don't know who wrote it. Now, hymnology is interesting because in your hymnal, it's in front of you, a lot of those hymns were written out of heartache and heartbreak. This was as well. It was found out that Dr. Scriven, who was born in Dublin, Ireland, in 1820, wrote it around 1850 or so, and he was a man that experienced great heartache. He had graduated recently from Trinity College there in Dublin, looking forward to marrying his Irish beauty and establishing business. He was going into business. He was a business-trained man. The day before the wedding, she accidentally drowned. As he was watching her body being pulled from being drowned, it devastated him. It absolutely just shocked him, and it was a shock that he never really got over. About 10 years after this event, he moved to Canada, trying to forget what was back there, all the heartache and the tears. While in Canada, Scriven received a notice that his mother was not doing well. She had received some bad news, and she was going through a troubling time. Scrivener sat down and wrote this poem for his mother. And he sent it to her in Ireland. It was years later when Scrivener was sick at home and one of the neighbor men was taking care of him that he found the manuscript while in the bedroom there assisting Scrivener. He found this, the script, the manuscript, and he asked him, "Is this yours?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I wrote that to my mother when she was going through a hard time." And he said, "Well, actually, the Lord and I wrote it together." You see, it was because of that illness that this hymn was discovered by the church. If it had not been for the discovery of this hymn and being published by Ira Sankey, millions of people over the last, this hymn's been there 175 years, would have not been blessed the way that it was. And by the way, when Ira Sankey and P.P. Bliss were getting ready to publish Gospel Hymns Number 1, the volume Gospel Hymns Number 1, he took a song by Converse, who wrote the music to him, and took one out of the publication and put this one in, "Wrote a Friend We Have in Jesus." And it became really the most popular hymn in the whole book. So if that had not been discovered and not unveiled, it never would have been one of the great hymns of the faith. 175 years later, the church is still finding comfort in "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Amen. I want you to keep your hymnals open, if you will, if it's not in communion queue. And I want to talk to you for just a few moments tonight on the subject of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." You see, let me simply ask this question. What is a friend? What is a friend? As defined, it is one who is a confidant, someone who is concerned with your welfare, someone whom you may and will fellowship with, someone you can have an intimate conversation with. And let me tell you something, young people, and I speak directly to young people. Not everybody who says will be your friend in your lifetime is a friend. If you grow old and you have just a few people around you that you can have intimate conversations with and trust them and they trust you, you'll be very, very fortunate in life. Is Christ my friend? If he is, then I need to let go and let God. So many times we hold on to the hurts, the disappointments, the failures, the grievances of this life. 1 Peter 5:7 says it this way, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Casting all your care upon him. Look at John 15. John 15, verses 14 and 15. The Lord Jesus speaking here. The Bible says that we are his friend, and he is our friend. Is he your friend tonight? John 15, verses 14 and 15. Well, let's go back to verse number 12 through 17. I'll read that whole section. John 15, verse number 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus, do you believe he's your friend? Well, let's just take a look. Is he a confidant? Is he the kind of person that is concerned for your welfare? Is he one that you can fellowship with? I propose to you that Jesus is your friend. And I propose that there are several areas that we can look at very easily and determine his friendship. For example, number one, Jesus is my friend because he saved me. Jesus is my friend because he saved me. Look at John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. John 10, 28 and 29. Notice what it says there. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Jesus is my friend, and nobody can take that away from me, because he has saved me by his grace. So the hymn writer wrote it this way. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus is my friend. Yet some willingly turn away from him. It says in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There will be those that you and I encounter throughout life. You tell them about Christ, the answer is no. Not interested. By the way, there will come a day when they are interested, but it'll be eternally too late. Some doubt God's ability to help me over my struggles and my difficulties, my frustrations, my uncertainties, my fears. And he's able to meet all of those challenges in my life and in your life. And yet there are those who believe and receive Christ. In John 1:12 it says this, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Another hymn writer put it this way, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus is my friend because he saved me. Number two, Jesus is my friend because he guides me. He guides me. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You may know him by heart. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He will guide me. He will guide me assuredly as he guided the children of Israel into the promised land. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, God guide and directs. That doesn't always mean that the path will be easy. It doesn't always mean that there won't be difficulties. Most assuredly, there are difficulties. There are heartaches. I just read recently a story about a nurse during World War I who was a Belgian nurse. And as you know, much of Europe was fighting against Germany in World War I. And she ministered to all soldiers. It didn't make any difference to her if they were friends of her countries or not, her enemies. She unashamedly ministered to all of them best that she could. When the Germans discovered who she was, they took her and they had a trial, quote unquote. All of her good did not matter. Condemned her to death. And this young lady, who was a nurse in the hospital, ministering to German soldiers as well as French soldiers and Belgian soldiers and whatever have you, was declared to be stood before a firing squad. Before they put the blindfold on her, she gave a radiant testimony regarding her love for the Lord Jesus and the fact that she was not afraid to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. After that, they put the blindfold on her and she died of multiple gunshot wounds. See, the path isn't always easy. Sometimes the path is difficult. But nonetheless, God's paths, and hear me on this, God's paths are always right. His path is always right. I don't care how difficult the time, I don't care how heartbreaking the hour, His paths are always right. The hymn writer said it this way: have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Let God direct your steps. And as I look at these young people here tonight, I appreciate them and I love them and I'm thankful that they're in here. Let me just encourage you, young people. You follow the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. Don't waver to the right. Don't waver to the left. Stay right with God. Let Him direct your path, and He will. He goes before us like a shepherd leading sheep. Number three, Jesus is my friend, not only because He saved me, not only because He will guide me, but because He will help me. He will help me. That's what prayer is all about. Going to the Lord and laying your burdens before Him and saying, Lord, here are my burdens. Lord, help me with these, because you don't always have the answer. We need to ask Him and tell Him about our needs and our needs today. The psalmist writes, Psalm 37, verse 25, and he says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And in case you don't know it, I'm an old man. I know I could sense a wave of disbelief when I just said that. But when your great-grandchildren look at you and say, Papa, did you vote for Abraham Lincoln twice? You know that you're old. You know you're up there in years. All right? But I can tell you this much right now. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. God is always there. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My wife and I have seen God many times meet our needs. We've been married, if both of us live by God's grace. We'll be married 60 years this August. Now, we were young. She was 5 and I was 7. We got married. But we were young. But we'll be married by God's grace 60 years. There have been times when she and I have had to pray for food. And you know what? We didn't have to tell anybody. We just prayed. And God supplied it. And I'm going to tell you this much. We know that God supplies every need. I'll never forget my first church. My first church, I was a kid preacher. And I pastored the Boulevard Baptist Church in Wilmington, Delaware. My first salary as a pastor in 1966 was $15 a week, if we needed it or not. Okay, now my wife worked at Hercules then, and she brought home the grand total of about $70 a week, something like that. So between the two of us, we had the awesome income level of about $80, $85 a week. Hear me and hear me well on this. You might say, well, surely, preacher, you didn't tithe. Surely we did. If there was ever a time to tithe, that was the time to tithe. I didn't want God having a problem with me stealing from him. That's for sure. Surely we did. We have tithed ever since we've been married. And really, we give above the tithe, but that's not important. What's important is that you keep tithing and giving. And so Jesus promises to hear and answer every one of our prayers. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7 with me, if you would, please. Jesus promises to hear and answer our prayers. So be specific when you pray. Don't pray in generalities. Be specific. Lord, you know our need. You know we need thus and so. Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That is the first verse that I, as a little boy, memorized. Well, how do you know that? Believe it or not, my daddy taught me that verse, Matthew 7, 7. And I memorized it, and that was the first verse I ever did. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now look at Matthew chapter 18. Not only should you pray, you may need to have others pray with you about whatever your need is. And it's good to have others praying with you and for you. Matthew 18, 19 says this. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Christian, keep on praying. Christ will answer prayer. Now, it may take some time, but that's not God's fault. That's probably our fault. What do you mean? Because we need to get out of the way and let God. That's what we need. Sometimes we try to help God out. You know what I mean? Be a personal ambassador for him and help him out. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need your help. Just let God do what God does, and that is answer prayer. He will answer. So Jesus is my friend because he saved me. He is my friend because he will guide me. He is my friend because he will help me. And he is my friend because he brings me joy. You know, stress and worry often rob us of the blessings of God. Worry. Now, I'm not going to ask how many of you have never worried, because if you put up your hand, I know you're not telling me the truth, okay? Because we've all worried from time to time. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's true. We've worried from time to time. And because of stress and worry, it robs us of the joy. Let me give you an illustration of something. And I hope it helps you understand how insignificant worry is. By the way, worrying about something will change absolutely nothing. Nothing. Prayer will change it. Worry won't. I came across this. According to the National Bureau of Standards, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to the depth of 100 feet is composed of something less than 1 glass of water. That is, all the fog covering 7 city blocks, 100 feet deep, could be, if we're gotten all together, held in a single drinking glass, and it would not quite fill it. That can be compared to our worry. Our work, most of the things that we worry about never come in to reality. So the hymn writer said this: are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee, take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee, thou wilt find the solace there. Psalm 16:11 says it this way: thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Jesus, what a friend we have in Jesus. There's no one like him, young or old. There's none like him. The older I get, the more I'm so thankful for his presence in my life. He is my friend because he saved me. He is my friend because he guides me. He is my friend because he helps me. He is my friend because he brings me joy. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus is my friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So, Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your hand of blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would be with each of us tonight. I thank you, Lord, that as an 8-year-old boy, I asked Christ to come into my heart. And what a blessing he has been to me all of these years. And though there have been many times that I have failed him, he has never failed me. So thank you. Thank you for the blessings of this life. Thank you for my sweetheart and the fact that you've given us such a long life together. Thank you for our children, our grandchildren, and even our great-grandchildren. Help each one in our family to walk with you. Help each of those here tonight to walk with you. There may be one or two here that are without Christ. I pray that they would realize the friendship that Christ is offering them. I pray, Lord, that for those of us that know Christ, that we would allow that friendship to grow and to deepen, and we'll praise you for that. While our heads remain bowed and our eyes are closed, is there anyone here tonight who would say, preacher, I don't know that I'm a friend of Jesus. I don't know that I've ever been saved. Would you please remember me in prayer? I'll not point you out, but I will pray for you. Anyone at all, preacher, just please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Please pray for me, any at all. Would there be any here tonight who would say, preacher, pray for me that I'll be closer to the Lord in my walk with him and my friendship with him. Would you quietly raise your hand? Just put it up. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yeah, many hands. So, Father, help us, I pray, Lord. Thank you for this dear church. Thank you for our pastor and his dear wife. We pray that you bring them home safely to us once again. We thank you for their ministry among us and their encouragement. We pray now that you bless us. Keep us safe this week, we ask. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Brother Tyler.
I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached. And just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.